Tuesday, May 6th at 18:29 hours.
Okay. To order, Slade, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Yes.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Chief Guthrie, would you offer our invocation today?
I'd love to.
Thank you.
Father in heaven, we give thee thanks this day for the many blessings that we have, and we ask that as we open this meeting that thy spirit might be with us, that we might be guided and directed, that we might be able to see to the needs of this area and better serve the people here and fulfill those responsibilities that we have. We ask to be with us always in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Okay. The consent agenda. Do we have anything on it?
Well, we have the minutes from last month's meeting, and we have the financial that we can talk about later.
Okay. Well, let's go over the minutes then.
Anybody
Mr.
have any?
Mr. Chair, I move that we accept the consent agenda.
I'll second it.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. It passes, so let's go ahead and go through the minutes from last meeting.
I think they were in
nothing.
The that is part of the consent
okay.
agenda, because we sent it out as a packet
okay.
for everyone to look
so
at.
We got that. Okay. Yeah. Good. All right. Well, our next thing on the agenda tonight is our FAPP people. Who's going to be the spokesman? Heber?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, just an update on FAPP. We got a lot of stuff up on disposal, stuff we're not using, that sort of thing. What you do have in service, we're going to try to hang on to it, but we're looking to replace it. So we want you to look into gsaauctions.gov. And just see what equipment's out there that you can buy and actually own. That equipment yeah. that's currently in there, FEPP-wise, you don't own
you
that
cannot,
equipment.
Yeah.
But you're spending money on it to keep it running.
Right.
So we just want to get that replaced and get something that you own. The next thing is the fire truck behind Leeds. So the Northwest Fire District owns that. It's an old fire truck. If you remember, it used to be yeah. on Gunlock.
It's at the Leeds Fire Station.
It's behind oh, that's the fire station.
So that Ford is over there now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
All right. Do I need to go take a look at it?
It does not run. I'm not sure what the issues are.
So
it was under the impression at one time that it was FEPP.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't. It was
just donated to Leeds.
No.
No, and it was Rail's brush truck.
Yeah, we found out that the title that the Northwest Fire District actually owns that.
Yeah,
truck.
We bought it.
So before
so we should still have a title for that.
You should have a title somewhere.
What is the kind of truck is it?
It's a 1970 fire engine, I want to say, international. I could give you more info.
Yeah,
send it to Mike.
You can give me the last four of the bin or something.
Yeah,
I'll look
yeah.
for it.
It'll be with. I'll send it with a custodial agreement. That information on that truck.
Okay.
But we bought it. You,
yeah, you do own it. I'll send it with a package. That was going to be my
okay,
next thing.
So that's not the one I thought was that I was thinking of. So no.
does Leeds want to do anything with it? Or
no.
No.
I said we were going to throw it up for disposal, have a truck come, somebody buy it, put it up for auction, buy it, and haul it off until
yeah.
we found out the title. Of
it's ours.
So owns it. Do we want to buy it up for auction and we take the revenue from it, whatever that is?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's...
Would we get more out of just...
That's not the one from the top one.
Steel yard and getting
no.
the weight.
No, you're not going to get...
Older than that.
Would taking it to the scrap yard?
Yeah. yeah.
So, I don't know. Well, maybe I'll go visit with the
yeah.
chief over in Leeds and see what... So did we just donate it, or do you remember at all what
the
I've got a picture of that truck at the Gumlock station.
So it was an international? I think so. Off the top of my head.
There was that international tanker that we got rid of about 3 years ago. That was the Garage Queen that was there. But there was one that was parked out there before they built the station. Right. I've got a picture of it.
It's an old style fire.
It's an engine.
Yeah.
It's riding on the tailboard type of engine.
You want it back for a museum?
It's not that Seagrave that we sold. No.
Okay.
Whose light has that?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
So I don't know. I'll go take a look at it. I'll go take a look at it. It wasn't a Vail engine at that point.
That had to have been.
You'll know when you see it.
Yeah.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Oh, that came from Jim MacArthur, I think.
Okay.
The one that was at Gunlock. It was a pump and roll kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that came from Jim MacArthur.
Okay. Well, we'll see what's what on that. Okay. I've got a question on the FPP. Now, I had a conversation with Derek that said that there is a program that you guys are shooting to get into, but you've got to dispose of, 30 FPPs in the area to be able to...
No, well, it's statewide. We got to dispose of a lot of FEPP statewide. So, but it's the FE. Pardon the acronyms. FEP. I don't know what all this stands for.
They got rid of
well, federal XX property.
Yeah.
Is FEPP. Yes. FEP.
I'm just wondering if we were to be a little more aggressive on getting rid of FEPP stuff, if we could get some FEP stuff.
Well, what would be the... You could try looking on the FEP website, and I'll get you the link to that, where that's at, and see what they have.
Okay.
But as far as what the state's running right now, they're not even looking at FEP stuff.
Okay, so, but us getting rid of something wouldn't give us any preferential treatment on getting something from FEP?
Not that I'm aware of.
Would it help? The quicker we get rid of our stuff, the quicker the state is going to get access to the
other stuff that we can get.
Yeah. So, anything that you don't have in service, let's get rid of that. Anything you still have, let's keep it, but have it ready to go. So there is no real, we couldn't get
any brownie points for getting rid of more
stuff.
There's no time frame for us going into this new program. Okay.
Question, follow up on the GSAauctions.gov. Mm-hmm. Once it's there, it's already been through the federal, does anybody need this program, right?
Yes.
And then that's the final disposal. Is there any way to get to those vehicles before they get sent to, because we got to pay auction price if we go that way.
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Because they used to offer it to state before it went to auction.
That might be part of what this FEP program is, because it is old, just federal equipment, old engines and that sort of thing. But until the state's going to dive into that program,
we got to get current
with FEPP.
That's why we couldn't apply. I tried earlier last year.
Okay.
And it wasn't available.
So we've got, as I know right now, we've got two that we're looking to dispose of. We've talked about, and that's here. It's the Deuce out in the back, and then the beast of a tanker.
Now, big tanker.
Now, Chris was talking about possibly wanting that tanker down in Vail. Is that something we want to discuss or maybe talk about later?
Well, I think we want a really nice water truck with a tanker. We want a tanker with it, but Vail, right?
Well, we want, right?
I think part of the problem is there's nobody in Central that was comfortable driving. But I think me and Slade and Wyatt and a couple of our guys would be comfortable.
But speed-wise, you can't leave Vail. You can't go down the Gunlock. You'll never get back up.
We could, but you wouldn't be in a hurry getting, you know, it's 5,000 gallons, and so you're not going to be in a hurry getting anywhere.
Something the irrigation district or water district?
No, we don't do that. Well, maybe we don't need to discuss it in here, the disposition of that.
But we'll talk, you know, chiefs. We'll talk about the possibility of that. But I know the other one is that squad over at Brookside. And Dan was really hot. I wanted to get rid of that, but have something to replace it. I don't know. We should maybe...
But that one's still in service, though.
It's still in service.
It is. Yeah.
Is it, though? Cause
oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, it still works.
I thought it was working on the engine. When
I don't know. We'll have to drive it. Okay. Well, it's been out.
It
was on that Brookside fire last year.
All right. Well, so we will get back to you on these two here. And I think other than that,
the 6x6 here.
Yeah.
If you want to put it on your list,
Definite go. Okay. And we're still not quite sure on the big water truck. I know. Like by next year, I'd like to see us have maybe a tactical tanker in the fleet. I think would be something that would be very beneficial here, but probably not going to happen this season.
Well, I'll work on some custodial agreements just to update those kind of things, and I'll include that engine from Leeds, what information I have on it.
Okay. Yeah, that has to be that old.
And you're sure it's in the 1970s?
I think that is the correct date, yeah.
I think
because on our insurance policy,
it wouldn't
that
be
on,
it wouldn't
be
on our insurance.
Well, I just want to make sure everybody understands.
Yeah,
we don't show ownership of it.
I suspect that there's a title for it.
Yeah, right, we'll have to go through
that. That's what we have here.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'll need a signature from the chief and then one of the board members on this custodial agreement. And we'll have pictures of the equipment that's under the Northwest, all that.
You guys will just get that to us when you're at the permit.
Yeah.
Okay.
That works. Okay. All right.
Can you guys stick around to talk about HB 48?
Sure.
Okay.
I'll tell you what.
All right. You're off the hook, Charlie.
Happy to take
always
questions.
Thinking.
Well, that's the next item up, so.
Is there one?
No, it's not.
Oh, I'm
one
sorry.
More,
no,
that's
it
the irrigation share is the next one up. And in our last meeting, we gave that proposal, and that's the last I've heard of it.
Yeah, so the irrigation company has talked about it. They are going to buy it. They're working on getting the funds together. So.
Okay.
Are they talking about just accepting the offer, counter offer?
Talking about accepting the offer as it was. So.
Okay. It would be nice is if they could just communicate that to us and then work on getting the money so that we can just take it off.
I will
call
Stuart tonight and tell him that
if he'll answer.
Okay.
As I tried to call Stuart today too, didn't get through. So
Stuart's pretty busy.
Fractionated share, as it turns out. So
well, that's
it's 1 3/20 of a share.
We might need to renegotiate.
I know. Now we need to. You get a 97.
Well, it doesn't say anything about the high water share either. So, but whatever.
Well, the high water share goes. That would just be included.
It's a little bit different, but anyway, that's another deal, and we're not going to go there. Okay, item number 7 then, the discussion on the HB 048.
Okay, so I'll talk about what I know and then hand it off to you guys if anything I missed. There's not a great deal of information on this yet. From what I understand, the legislature has passed this HB 48, which they say was somewhat of a response to the LA fires. They wanted something with some teeth to get people to produce defensible spaces around the property in the wildland interface. I listened in on a meeting. Basically, they're talking about if you live in the wildland interface, which our entire district does, there will be a tax placed upon you to help with this situation. And from what I understand, they're talking about having three levels to that tax. It would be a low, medium, and high. If your property is in good state, has a defensible space, and you've done some fuel mitigation, you could qualify for the lower. If you've done nothing and you've got a non-defensible space, you would be assessed the higher tax. What that is and how they're going to do it, so am I missing anything at all?
No, that's it in a nutshell. Sure. We're supposed to have more information towards the end of November.
Do they have it looks like Gordon has some.
Gordon?
I think the important thing to consider on this, it's going to be county, not state. So your tax is going to go to the county.
Are you sure about that?
That's the structure of the bill as I read it.
Yep.
Okay.
What it boils back to is, beside the levels, if you, they're going to learn to handle it first, but you will be notified that the bill gets passed, you'll be told what it entails, okay? And then, how do I put it? There will be a mandate that you get inspected. That scares me because...
Yeah, we don't have a fire inspector.
Well, you've got to have county certified inspectors to do it. And then they'll evaluate it, feed it back to the county, and then you'll get feedback from the county as to what your tax level is. If you don't do it, there's a penalty on top of the tax.
Do we know what the money's going to be used
for? If I read that bill right, this falls on the county level first. Doesn't fall right straight to us, if I read that bill correctly.
It's entirely on the county to administer it.
And so they will have to, if they want us to do anything with that, they will have to come up to us and give us the assignment they give us, but it falls on them, not... It doesn't fall on the district. The bill, as it's written, falls directly on the county and the county commissioners, essentially.
But it does. It will be on the individual homeowner to do that fuel mitigation. After the inspection. Well, and again, and I don't even know if that's going to be it. If they're, you know, or who's going to do the inspection or what the assessment's going
to
be.
Yeah, I think those are still the questions of who's going to do that are still the questions.
Yeah.
But also, they have to, in that bill, it states that they have to assess the risk, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there may be certain areas that are high risk, and there may be certain areas that are at no risk, and the no risk won't get assessed like the high risk. And
but from what I understand, everybody will be assessed.
It's still individual. One of the issues we're going to have here is absentee owner, undeveloped lots. So people have to be informed ahead, not just us. Anybody that's on the listing within the county and within that district has to be advised well in advance, so it gives them time to be able to react and do some work if necessary.
Do we know what the tax is going to be used for?
There's nothing defined yet. It's still floating. What I understand, it will happen. It's effective January of next year.
So we still have time to work on this.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I think the die's been cast. I think they're just trying to figure out how they're going to do it.
You know, I've been preaching that for years. So
firewise.org,
yeah,
for folks that are interested in what information on what kind of work they can do around their house. That's a place you would go. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, sure.
My question to you guys is, I can go out and bust my buns, clean up my property, but the people that are next to me, above me, below me, and to the side of me, aren't.
Yep.
There's no enforcement. Now, I don't know if you've been around the county, in here much, but you can see 20 and 30 vehicles parked in the front yard that have gasoline or diesel there. So if a fire starts there, and the way the wind... I mean, California scared me to death because I used to work there as a deputy sheriff. And I couldn't believe all the damage that occurred behind that fire. And I see the wind here, and I've been up here 30 years. I see the wind here, same scenario as California. You got all these vehicles, and nobody's making these guys or people clean up stuff out of their yard.
I get worried.
I bust my butt.
I think that's the intent of this bill.
That's
what they're trying to accomplish, is to have some sort of teeth so that it would motivate those people that are doing nothing to do something. Again, I don't know if the way they're going about it is exactly how they should, but I think that's the attempt that the legislators have done with this bill. Yeah, go ahead.
My property sits with the forest around it.
Mm-hmm.
that's a high risk, but it's not my risk. So are they going to take care of that, or am I going to be assessed for that as a high risk?
That's my question. The Forest Service
remains to be seen.
I
think it depends on what map they use, and as far as I know, they're going to be using our URAP map. So if you go to URAP and look at Central, I'm sure Forest Service is included in that because mm-hmm. it is a threat
yeah.
to Central. So that is going to be in that assessment as well. I would think it would be.
So I got a phone call from a resident who is in the process of getting a permit to build a house here in Central. And she called because she got a form, and you might know about it, Heber, is the Fire Hazardous Severity Form. It was done in 2006 for Utah Wildland Urban Interface Code. And the questions that it asks are how many means of egress and ingress do you have? For example, this section
of one way in, one way out.
Central has two, but that section has one.
Who sent her the questionnaire or sent this form to her?
When she went to get her permit, they gave her this form to fill
out.
Okay.
From the county?
The county.
Okay. I just talked to the inspector about that very thing this week, and I was told that it's brand new being enforced.
Correct.
Since we have a new inspector for our area.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me that because my permit isn't finished yet, I'm up on Sundance.
Okay.
If I don't have those egresses, they can make me tear the house down. They're getting pretty aggressive.
I know, because they want to know what the width of the primary road is, what the accessibility is for the grade slope.
Yeah.
If you have a cul-de-sac, if it's a dead end, are there street signs? What type of fuel for vegetation is surrounding it? What kind of defensible space that you have? I mean, they also want to know what the topography is, what you're talking about the slopes that you're surrounding, what kind of roof material, what kind of water sources do you have, what is the gallons per minute speed. I mean, they're asking all of these questions, what kind of siding and decking, if it's combustible, non-combustible. And then it has scores next to it. So the lower the score, the better you
Did they pass some new code that we don't know about?
I think they're implementing this code. Yeah. I don't think it was ever, I don't think it's new. I just think they're finally implementing it. And I think it's because of all the wildland fires and whatnot. So, Gordon, yes.
That form, obviously, you said 2006. That original form was formatted, if you like, at the same time that we've had the original fuel reduction and defensible space capsule in Central and Brookside. It's not a new form. It surprises me they're leaving it that far back.
Well, that's the date that on the form that I had received from this person that got it from the county went to go get their permit. And so she was asking, well, do I reach out to the fire department? Like, I don't know. What do I do? So
this is the issue, is there's no structured organization. It's all piecemeal.
Mm-hmm.
The county's had this for ages.
Mm-hmm.
We've had it here for ages. I know that, I think Pine Valley, I think they applied that when somebody was asking for a permit to build in Pine Valley, not now, but in that second or third phase,
mm-hmm.
they went through that with the that existing fire department for Pine Valley. It needs to be questioned and structured. Right now, it's just disseminated.
Well, and we're just giving this for information because it's not us. The residents have to write to the legislature folks and talk about it.
And how do they judge? I mean, how do they really judge whether they comply to what level? That's the snag.
Chief Guthrie, is this something you can meet with the building department about?
I can go down and talk to them and see what it's all about.
Because if they haven't been enforcing this since 2006, Okay. We need to have a chat with the county.
Well, that's what she was asking. I think I gave her, I know I gave her your contact, and I told her you were working in out of town. So I don't know if she's...
Is it planning?
What type of communication do you have with the force?
I'm just curious.
I don't. I would have to...
Because a lot of our property up here is adjacent
right.
to the port. Well, they don't clean that forest though. And I don't know how many people in here now, but I had my insurance together for all my houses. And I got to steal this, steal that. Didn't make a damn bit of difference. Because he came after me for having that forest so close to my property line. They said, this is the forest, belongs to the government. What's the deal?
Yeah.
And they said, the guy was good. He wasn't a smart ass or anything. Mm-hmm. But he was a ranger responsible for all of DC-Deer Fort.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, there's nothing we can do. We don't have money to cut this trees down. And I asked, I said, okay, how about if I pay for my own little piece of the world, have that forest, and don't you go in there and cut
that? No, you can't do it.
Don't you go in there. And I said, I was too young to go to prison.
Can you send me that form that she forwarded to you? Mm-hmm. To me? Okay.
There'll be a link that you'll...
This one?
Yeah.
Yep. Just so I know when I go talk to them what I'm talking about.
I think Joe had a plan to be able to do that this year, but those funds have been pulled back now, so I'm not sure whether anything's going to happen.
A lot of funds
have there's a lot of... Well, you look at Southern California... I think they said they've got two places under construction in that devastated area now that they've got through the approval process. So it's... Well, and you know, basically, we do the best we can with what we have. You know, we bitch a lot, but that's how it is. We do the best we can. And... try to make our communities safe, and you know, FireWise is a great idea. We need to take care of it. You know, and I know where I am. I'm in the middle of a field, and I can remember in 2006 I had a retardant strip came down my field, and we burned 90 acres there in Vail. So. No, that wasn't in the gully. That was, we had a guy that he was welding on a chicken coop. And it went up through Vail. Burned 90 acres right there, right in the middle of the Vail. So,
thank you. Appreciate the invite. And if you have any questions about House Bill 48, let me know.
Yeah, appreciate you guys. Yeah.
I have a question. Are there any grants coming up that maybe we can apply for?
Not that I'm aware of right now. Everything's kind of on hold as far as federal government.
I know. So we had applied for a grant to do defensible space here in Central. And originally the grant started out just under $5 million. They were going to give out the awards on March 1st. I get a letter stating that the government's pulled back on funding.
Well, yeah.
So I just got an email a couple of days ago. They funded the grant for $970,000 instead of $5 million. And so, you
can do an awful lot with that much money, too.
You know, but you know what? One organization got like $800,000.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's, you know,
it wasn't us.
No, I was only asking for $22,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jeez. So we could clear out the facility
and
mulch it and stuff. So, just saying, I was curious if there are anything out there because they're all tightening up or.
Right now,
everything's.
Well, if something does come up, would you guys mind just shooting us a note so that we can get on it? Please?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah. Is Smitty still doing stuff?
This is last year. I think March is when he's done next year.
Okay. Doing the wooey?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks, gentlemen.
Appreciate it. The invite. That.
Okay. Safe travels home.
Thanks for coming out here. Appreciate
yeah, we appreciate you guys.
Absolutely. I will.
Yeah, thank you
guys
very much.
Appreciate it.
All right. Item number 8, the monthly accounting and budget discussion. Rosemary and Chief.
So here's our funding balances. In our PTIF fund, we have, I'm just going to round the numbers, $95,000. In our general checking account, we have $175,000. Thank you to all the standby fees. We still have a little more coming in. But that was as of today. In our savings account, we have $6,000, and we have two CDs. One is for $10,000, and the other one is for $25,000, and those are both coming due, I think, in July, if I'm not mistaken. So then we'll just move that money, and we're going to want to put money back into the PTIF fund because we took $50,000 out a couple of months ago. To float our checking account until we got our standby fees in. So I feel we're in pretty good shape, and we'll talk about it and probably move some money soon back over there. So
I had a few conversations over the last week or so with Kyle from Polaris, our accounting people. Told him I was quite disappointed in the fact that I still have no visibility to anything, and he has done no training with us on any of that. This was last Monday. He said he was going to get with Rosemary and Mark and get something set up for today so that we could get some training done today. Well, that didn't happen until I called and raised some heck yesterday morning. So we finally got an email out, couldn't get it together for a training today. Who all needs to be at that training? You know, Rosemary, Mark, Scott, and me. Is there anybody else that we'd want to have? You'd like to be there? Yeah.
I think it would be good that we're all there so we
okay.
see it, understand
do we have to
it,
to understand
we have a
what
big
we're
doing. Picture.
Do we have to do anything if we've got a quorum for one of these trainings? We don't have to do anything special?
It's not a meeting.
Okay. That's
it's a training.
It's just
okay.
A training.
Yeah. So when could you guys do this so I can? I'm going to go ahead and just schedule it and tell Kyle when to be there. Otherwise, it's going to be like herding cats. So what if we were to do it Thursday?
I'm pretty flexible right now.
Is Thursday afternoon okay with? So
this
maybe,
week?
Yeah, this week. I know you're kind of slammed this
yeah,
week.
Yeah, after Friday, I can do it.
Okay, so maybe we push to next week. Okay.
Next Thursday I cannot do it.
How about Tuesday? I'm on shift. So do you want to try and do it Tuesday over at Vail? Tuesday afternoon?
Not this coming Tuesday, the following Tuesday.
Well,
right.
No, a week from today. A week from today.
Yeah. Okay.
Would that work?
That's the 13th.
Yeah. Oh.
Every Tuesday.
Okay. So
earlier, noonish.
Well, can you guys go earlier in the day if we were to do it in, let's say, before noon?
I can do it.
Are you able to break away, Scott, and Slade? Okay. Well, you know what? Again, if get who we can, I think, and then we can pass on the information to who can. So let's go ahead and shoot for Tuesday.
The 13th?
Tuesday the 13th. 10:30.
Okay.
At upstairs at the Vail station.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I will get that set up. But I also had some firm conversation with them. You know, the reports I get from you guys when I call and ask how things are going, you're saying that he's very not very responsive or very quick to respond, and I let him know that that's not what we're expecting. You know, when they sold this to us, they told us they were going to be very responsive, and I said that this is not, this is not the expectation we have. So, anyway, so let's go. We'll go Tuesday, the 13th at 10:30. Okay.
If I may,
sir.
All
Are we locked in with other counties?
We are. And, I think they're going to be year, fine. It's just, it's not a big company, and I just, they haven't been quite as responsive. I think
he was working on all of our 2024 late accounting. He had to bring everything up to speed. Yeah. So right. There's a reason for it, but now that...
And then once we've got you know, visibility, and that's the biggest thing. I don't have visibility on what's going on. You know, when I'm having to purchase things through the budget, I kind of don't know where we're at because I don't have visibility. So
well, we don't want another repeat of...
There is no doubt that, we are not going to...
He's on top of the reports, and then once we get trained, we'll have the ability to enter our data for him. Right now, we're sending it to him. To follow up on the CD, the maturity date is June 23rd. Mm-hmm. It was 151 days at 4.16%, and we've made $103.09 so far on the $10,000 one, but the 25's maturity the same date.
Oh, on that meeting on Tuesday, I'll have a Zoom link if you guys can't physically be there and be able to jump on a Zoom to sit in on it. Mm-hmm. So I'll have that on Zoom. Okay.
All right. Update on the 2025 standby fee billing.
Well, we've gotten a lot of checks in the mail, particularly this past few weeks, because the deadline was the 30th. I will say we are kind of loose on that deadline, because what I notice is when somebody here mails their envelope, it does not get stamped until it hits Las Vegas. Yeah. So anyway, we're very loose on that 30th deadline because it's not fair. They probably mailed it and it would have been postmarked, blah, blah, blah. But I have to say it's going along quite smoothly. There have been some mistakes on our part and we're fixing them and getting the database even tighter. There are several people donated anywhere from $1 to $400. So when I'm done, we're going to send a thank you note to them.
Sure,
but I mean, even just that little bit, it all adds up. So I thought that was really nice. And then I was talking with Mike about it, and we'll have to figure out how we want to code that money, because one idea was maybe for hardship folks in the coming years. If people have hardships, maybe that can
make
help
a hardship
fund it.
Fund.
You know, that was one idea. Mm-hmm. But if others, you know, you guys have other ideas, let's hear it, because then we'll put that money aside for something that we can maybe do for the residents.
Do you have any indication, maybe as far as what percentage of response we have of the bills that went out? Are we at 60%, 70%?
I would say my guess is 75%.
That's
is my
awesome.
Guess. I'll know more soon, but you know, I've been also trying to coordinate with Kyle because I'm coding everything on our database that we pulled in, and
that's
you know,
that's some of the info that we should have. But weren't we at the end of the year last year?
Yeah.
We were only at about 75% going in. Maybe I think we were 60%.
No, we were even less. We had 70,000 of outstanding. I think in very good shape. Yes.
Perfect. Okay. Good. Okay.
Any questions on any of that?
Okay. All right. The update on the CIB.
So we now, on the rescue, we now have advanced life support capabilities. We've got IVs, we've got cardiac medications, we now have a monitor that's fully functional. So we now have ALS capabilities. Tomorrow...
What's ALS mean?
Advanced life support.
Thank you.
So this is you know, a step beyond CPR. So we have the capability now of administering cardiac medications that to help in a rescue. So we have that. We've got other medications as well that are at an advanced level, that aren't just a basic EMT level medications. We have those now, some advanced
And do you need to be an advanced EMT to
use those?
To have use, protocol, yes.
To use those, yes.
Do we have the CPR?
So we have the CPR machine, is called the AutoPulse. We are, tomorrow night, we've got training on the monitor and the AutoPulse, and we're going to have a loaner of the AutoPulse until ours comes. He thinks probably about 3 weeks we'll have our own AutoPulse. But as of tomorrow night, we'll have the AutoPulse, which is going to, that's unbelievable capabilities that we'll now have.
What that does is, it's an automated CPR machine, so instead of...
Yeah, CPR is very labor-intensive. And it rains people out. You know, you have to. You can do it for about 2 minutes, and you have to trade out.
And it's hard when you're moving, transporting to the hospital. This is perfect CPR.
It's also a very consistent CPR. You know, you're getting the amount of compression you need, the amount of perfusion that you need. It also, you know, if you're in a situation where you're shorthanded of rescuers, it frees up your rescuers to do other things, mm-hmm. maintain an airway, and to administer some of those advanced medications. Mm-hmm. So this is huge to have these capabilities. And so, yes, sir.
If you remember one of those I mentioned in those House bills regarding the EMTs,
yeah,
qualification, and they get health insurance coverage.
Yes, and we are currently taking advantage, our EMTs, a number of them are taking advantage of that health insurance. So the state has put through a program for volunteer EMS that they will receive health insurance. And it's the same insurance that the state workers get. I'm currently taking advantage of it, and it's really a blessing. It's a good program. It took about a year for them to recognize that there are rural communities in Washington County, because the first year they didn't allow us to participate because they said Washington County was not a rural county. They have since changed that. Walt Brooks was very instrumental in getting that. So now any community that's less than 3,000 residents, can the volunteer EMS people can take advantage of that. So
it's, can you let us know when to pay that Zoll invoice then? When you finally
I forwarded over the invoice. I think they're looking for our, they need a copy of our tax ID stuff. That was an email.
Again.
I think there's a hiccup there because it has it on it.
But they still charge it.
And it was $1,500.
Yeah, so. We've talked to them about it many times.
So I forwarded, there was another email that came in yesterday. I forwarded that over.
Okay,
so.
Do you need something from me then?
Well, take a look. I forwarded it to you. Take a look. If they need some more, they wanted the documentation, if you could forward it over to them again. If you don't have time, I'll look at it.
No.
Can we take care of it?
No. We'll just send them our tax certificate.
I did.
I know. Send
twice.
It again.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or just call
them. Hey, the third time's a charm. Okay. We'll make it work. So, and I'll be with the reps tomorrow.
Is it due now?
It is due.
Okay.
It is due. And I will be with the reps tomorrow. We'll talk about
how about
tomorrow.
I want the invoice to be correct because we have to send it to the CIB, and I'm not going to send them an incorrect invoice because then they won't process it.
Right.
Yep.
So.
Okay. Well, we'll talk. We'll take a look at it tomorrow, and I'll be with the reps tomorrow. We can fix anything we need to fix.
Okay.
With regards to that. So that's where we're at currently. In the next couple of weeks, once we've got, we're supposed to get our inspection. From the state the end of this month, according to Chief Moody, so that we will get our quick response designation hopefully by the end of the month. That's what we're shooting for. So I still need to go out and get the badging done, you know, the logos and stuff put on the units. But we're also waiting to get lights put on the UTV. I met with Rulon yesterday, and he's trying to work us in hopefully in the next couple of weeks to get that taken care of and get the radios installed in it. We've got our helmets now for the UTV. We're going to have soundproof for the noise canceling headsets that are going to be incorporated into the helmets on there. So
Probably going to need them with all this rain we're getting.
I'm telling you. Well, the one rescue I did with the UTV, you cannot hear the radio. You've got to have something pretty significant to be able to hear the radio while you're traveling. So.
And if I may add, we just earned $400 renting out the UTV for a day on a movie set.
Yep. So yeah, it was on a commercial. Yeah. So they needed it. So I went on another commercial last week and offered it, but they didn't.
No. Thanks, but no thanks.
It was interesting. They sent a check via a link that I had to go print the check. Or if I wanted to electronically transfer it, then I had to pay a fee to do it. So I opted to print it, and I brought it to the bank. I explained it all to them, and I showed them everything, and they go, "Yeah, we're getting them."
Huh? Okay.
Get checks, links to
Hollywood people.
Yeah. But anyway, thank you, yeah. Chief, for yep. Helping with that, putting yep. that together.
Okay. Very good. Okay, the status update on the Central Community Park Project.
Yeah, I think we'll push that again until next month. There have been some comments on some stuff, so I think I'll talk with Emily and Paige.
All right. Item number 12, then, the second annual Dixie Deer Central Memorial Day Bash.
Yeah, that is moving along nicely. It is going to be Saturday, May 31st, here at the Central Fire Station. We're going to be borrowing tables again from the Brookside Fire Station.
We've got more at Gunlock and some at Vail if you need them as well.
Okay,
so
we have a floor plan, so we'll see how many we need to figure it out. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I know I've gone over it with Ralph. We've got our permit from the county, and they waived the $100 fee for that because it's part of the fire
now,
season.
Part of this, we're doing it, doing some sort of a memorial tribute to Kathy Voss.
Correct. That will be part of it, too. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, they're putting a table together, and I think they're doing a... celebration of life donation to some organization that she would like, if anybody wants.
Is there just a suggestion? Is there some way that we could maybe have a plaque or something that we could maybe put up in the station to commemorate her service to the fire district?
I'll talk to the committee that's working on it. I'll ask them.
I think they've got that in the works.
Do they?
Yeah, I think so.
It would be nice.
That would be good.
She did a lot for our district, and it would be nice to have something here at the station that would commemorate her and remember what she did.
I remember they had a picture of her in a red outfit with her, like her, so I thought that would be a good picture, but I will ask the gals that are working on that.
I was going to say this... organizing of this must be a little bit more difficult because Kathy's not there to do it.
Yeah. She's been at the heart of it.
Yeah. She did such a great job.
Yeah, I agree. So anyway, that's underway. If anybody is available that day, it's all day. They're doing, at different times, they're doing the rummage sale, silent auction. They're doing a talent show. They're doing live music, food, desserts.
Is there anything that you need from the fire department or any of the...
I look at Ralph because I know I asked him to help set up, get me the tables down. Depending on whether or not Ralph goes on a deployment, I might need someone to move the trucks.
I'll see him.
So, I know we talked about it when we met. Yeah. So, but I can, I'll let you know.
If there's anything that we need to do, let us know.
Thank you. I will.
Okay.
All right.
All right, Chase and Station Chiefs. Ralph, you're up.
All right. In Central, this last month, we had 5 medical calls. We had one brush fire, which I'm sure everyone saw. It was about a half acre. The cause of the fire was determined that it was a chain drag, and they haven't actually determined where the chain actually came from, but on the scene, there was a good-sized chain that was left in the middle of the street that was like, it took a drag. But luckily in the area that it was kind of contained when the weather conditions were pretty right that day, where we were able to jump on it pretty quick with the help of Vail, Gunlock, and surrounding resources, Pine Valley, Enterprise, and Denver Valley all came to help and assist, so we were able to jump on it real quick and knock it out.
We're kind of lucky only that little bit burned. I mean, there's a lot of other...
Just right where it started right there, we're just kind of had a nice little containment, had the streets around it, plus it had a little dirt road on the actual property that kind of kept it in place. But it was moving towards a structure, which we were able to jump on it right away and make sure that structure was protected. So
Chief Flores did a great job on that. She gave size up and jumped out on that right, yep. You know, had his hands full.
He was there, yeah.
Until the troops arrived, so he did an amazing job.
On another note, we have the Enterprise Wildland crew now working out of here as of May 1st. We're getting a slow start to it, but our plan is for the season, when we're not on deployment, we're going to be working 10-hour shifts out of the station. We're looking from like 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. On particular days, so we'll be here to help out with, you know, anything that comes in our district, you know, medical or fire, anything like that. So,
do you need any resources, food, beverages?
No, we're self-contained.
Self-efficient. That's how it is. Yeah.
Did you guys ever make it up to that guy that we did the survey on and talk to him about?
Yes, I did. Okay, and he actually has some local third-party people that are actually doing the work for him that he found next door. So he's getting it squared away. And
perfect. Okay.
Yeah. So, but I told him in the future if he needs anything else, to go ahead and reach out to me. I give him my contact information. So.
Okay.
Gordon, did you have a question or comment?
The only comment was that somewhere Providence was in my corner. I went down to take trash, and I happened to turn the corner, and I saw the first whiffs of smoke. That's when I called it in. Otherwise, well, it would still have got away anyway. But is there a plan to clear any of that up, or what?
Well, it's burned now, so it's in good shape.
Is the owner responsible to clean it up?
I think that should be their responsibility, but yeah.
And there was a lot of stuff in that area already. It looked like they had dumped, you know, some construction debris down in there and stuff. And that's the kind of...
Those trees were dead.
Right.
So. But the unfortunate part is it burned that little structure, which was part of the history of Old Central. Mm. That was one of the families that, the seven families that came here, raised seven kids in there. And the father raised the remaining kids after the wife died on the seventh childbirth. So it's sad to see it go, but sorry, Ralph.
No.
Yep.
That's good history.
Okay, Brookside.
We had a call in of a structure fire in Brookside on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Turned out it was a resident that was preparing hummingbird nectar and left it on the stove, and it caught fire. Must have been up for a very long time, but yeah, it caught fire, and we took it. Everything was just fine. Just had to set up fans and blow things out, but that was about it in Brookside.
Okay. All right, Chris?
We just had one medical call in Vail.
Yeah.
We've tried to help on the ones that have been around.
Yeah.
That's all we've got for there.
Okay.
Your garage door is all fixed?
Yeah.
And yours?
Gun locks, we got all the garage doors fixed and gun lock last week, so they're all in good shape.
Okay. And let's see. Nathan's here. Was there anything in gun lock?
We did an agricultural burn down by the rodeo ground, and things went well until I got a call from Kip that there were some spot fires in the afternoon after it was all done, about 80 yards away from where we were burning. It just popped up. It was amazing. So, anyways, got that taken care of. It happens. But no, that was about it in Gunlock.
Okay, do you have anything else for the district then?
I do. Charlie? A couple things. The Fire Academy at Dameron Valley. If you guys have anybody in your department that would like to get in the academy, their registration just opened up yesterday. So they just need to get on the website and get signed up.
When does that start?
I think it's going to start in August. They've been starting a little later, and then they go all the way up to Christmas. But now I think they get started in August.
What's the cost on that?
I,
About, it's just under a grand.
And we'll pick that up.
And we'll pick that up as a, well, the way we have it, yeah, we've got a scholarship that if they pass, we go ahead and take care of their. If they drop out and don't finish, then
it would be under the new agreement.
The new scholarship agreement. It would be on them if they drop out of the program and just quit. Then it's on them to pay that scholarship or pay that tuition. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we pick up the tuition. Did you have a question?
What I was going to ask.
Okay, perfect. Again, tomorrow night we've got training on our monitor and our Autopulse CPR machine. I want to make sure all the EMS guys are there, but any of the other firefighters would be real important. If they can be there, because, again, knowing where the equipment is, knowing how to get the help get it on, all that kind of stuff is pretty important. And so if any of the other firefighters can be there, that would be helpful. And then I think maybe we should have trainings in your departments with the equipment. You know, on some training night, we'll put together a scenario and work the Autopulse, work the monitor, and do those kinds of things so everybody's fairly comfortable with them. Do you want me to talk about the Elks real quick?
Sure.
So on this medical call we had out in Central a few days ago, a couple guys from Pine Valley came and started talking to me. They're from the Elks Club, and I know there's been some conversation about them doing something for our district and for Central specifically. They had, for Pine Valley, they had gotten SCBAs for them and a lot of that. And we had talked about doing that because I know that's something we want to get for Central. But talking to Chief Flores and talking with Lene after that call, the monitor that currently is here is an old monitor that is not made anymore. You can't get parts for it. The SCBAs we currently have in our budget to already buy this year. So my thought was to go to the Elks and ask them about getting a monitor and an Autopulse for Central.
What's our total?
46, 47, something like that. For the total, you know, if ask for the whole thing if they can do it. If not, the monitor would be the most. That was about $25,000 for a new monitor. But I think that would really, that's 90% of the calls up here are medical anyway, and I think it would be a real boon to have a monitor here. So I think Ralph and I will talk to the Elks and put together a presentation for them about, you know, possibly getting us an Autopulse and a monitor here in Central. Does that sound reasonable?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. That's all I've got.
Okay.
Can you give us a blue card training update? We've paid for the training, but
yes. So I have sent out invitations to our members that will be going through the blue card training. I don't know if anybody's had an opportunity to. I haven't had a chance to get started on it yet. It's about 30 hours of online scenarios. We do have, at the end of this month, we've got a training with what's called the dollhouse, which is, it's a metal, small metal house with rooms and doors and windows, and you build fires in there and open doors and windows and watch how flow works. There's a whole training that goes along with the dollhouse, and that's going to be the end of this month. I think the actual blue card training will be sometime this summer. We've got to give people a few months to get through the online portion. I think there's only one person out of all the 30 in the area, on 18, that has completed it. That's Mark Rose.
We haven't purchased the dollhouse and the other item, right?
It was, I think, part of that whole package.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, the dollhouse.
I think we still...
So we're still waiting here for Moody. We're supposed to have the iPads donated from the hospital for the program that we'll have. And so, but it is still moving along. You've seen a bill that I just put through from a company called Tactron. We're working with the SR18 chiefs to get an accountability system, where when our firefighters show up on scene there is a passport that has their name and their qualifications and what unit they're with that goes to the command, whoever is the incident commander, so that they're able to see who they have, and we've got that accountability. Mm-hmm. So we've got some things put together on that, and we should have something pretty cohesive here very soon that we can all put into use. So those are the things we're working with the ESR 18 Chiefs Association.
And you're still on track for the demo on the software from FirstNet?
They're going to be, yeah, FirstNet is going to come to the meeting next Monday. We have the ESR 18 Chiefs meeting on Monday. Okay. And they're going to come talk to us. And they're going to talk to us about, they've got tablets as well that we might want to put into our engines. If they're pretty good price. And it would give, you know, our individual engines the capability of getting onto
Spillman,
the dispatch software, and would give them a little bit more visibility on what's going on and some mapping and things like that. So, and we've got to get some software for patient tracking and I'm trying to think of the right word.
Report, so
that we've got our reporting into a consistent system, and so we've got to look at getting that put together and have that capability with all the apparatus.
Yeah, most of the county is using ESO, so.
Say that again.
The ESO.
Oh, okay.
And I know Chief Phillips hates it. I don't know really why.
Yeah, I think he's had something else that he just liked better.
Yeah.
It's not the most intuitive software, but it is what everybody else is using.
Yeah.
To be consistent, and I think that would be good. Mark, help us put together a new patient tracking sheet for medical calls so that we've got something consistent. This sheet, if you're first on, you fill this sheet out with what's going on with the patient, and you can then pass that off to the ambulance crew. And then you've also got, it's NCR, so you've got a copy for yourself, or for your own tracking and reports. So.
Okay. All right. Well, director's comments. Scott, you got anything to say?
I don't.
No? Okay.
Well, it's good to hear your voice, okay.
Well, and that's, you know, that's how it is.
I've learned you learn more listening.
Yes, you do.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Slade?
Nope.
Okay. Rosemary?
I do. I want to reiterate, we need more community involvement. And I know there are people that do volunteer, but I'm really happy to see a nice crowd here tonight. Please spread the word. You know, we're all here to make our communities stronger and also get to know everybody and try to help out. So we got an email from Susan Lewis at the county, and we need to supply some paperwork with them. And one of them is our online training that we have to do every year. And at the moment, I have Scott's.
I have Slade's certificate.
You have Slade's. Okay, yeah, great.
I can forward it.
So then us three need to do it.
It's two new guys.
Yeah, I know.
Way to blow out the curve. Good job.
I think ours were done.
No, you need to do every year. There's a one that
every
you have
2 years.
To do.
Yeah.
Nice job.
Well, I'll check, but...
that's true. It's probably the new year. So.
Anyway, and then she asked for some other reports that we need to get to from... Pelorus. So anyway, I told her we're going to be working on them.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just wanted to say that.
And they're not that time consuming. It takes, you have to sit down and look at the computer for a little bit and do them.
I'd like to at some point, and I think after we get Pelorus and our accounting all squared away, is to do a work session with our policies and procedures and try to take a good stab at Mike, I just wanted to question, is the server good that we could start putting files there that we could share them? And then
basically,
we need a training, or at least I need a training.
As far as the server, basically, from your computer, you can do a remote desktop and get into the server. So basically at this point we need to get the users, and I've got the server up there and the directory's there.
Maybe you can show, when we do our training on Tuesday with Polaris, you can show us how we can access that.
And so does it need to be a PC?
No.
It could be Mac-based?
Yeah.
Okay.
Great. Basically, it's, you know, on the server itself is a Microsoft server. Mm-hmm. So it has a remote desktop protocol that says, okay, I can log in mm-hmm. to the server. You're actually on the server rather than on your computer.
And are you on a VPN to do that? Do we need
and basically
to do that?
That's what, as you log into it, yes, it is a VPN.
Okay. So I'll need some training on that. I don't know how to do that.
I just sent you Slade's certificate.
Oh, okay, great. Thank you. And then our website. So I poke around and ask a lot of questions, and one of the things I learned, and maybe some of you might know it, but since we want to do a link for a money, right, transaction, mm-hmm. it's a different kind of software or program that you do with a website versus just a website that has just information. So because we want to link money,
it has to be secure.
There's all these different things that you need to do. But
is it something we should add in later? So we get
I think
getting the website up first and then having that capability of money.
Right. But you need to still be able, from what I've talked with someone who does websites, you still need to set it up so that you can add that to
and not
just
be on the back
first grade one.
I just don't want that to hold us up putting a website together. It's been something we've talked about now for a long time. I'd like to get that rolling.
And we might have to hire someone if we can't.
Anybody cheaper?
You got somebody? You know a guy?
There's been one for a long time that I created way back when.
Does it transact money?
No.
There's an annual cost for it.
Correct.
For RSA for the certificate
and
the security.
Correct.
But we should have that level on there anyway.
Correct.
Because so
if we first do it just information, then we have to spend money again to do the other one. So anyway. And then the other item is that we
thank you.
Put
have
together,
a good night.
Put together a public hearing, and again, maybe in one of our work meetings, we talk about these 400, 500 or so properties that are exempt and don't pay any standby fees, yet many of them have on them sheds or pole barns or barns or something. So I think we should address it and see what might be fair.
That might be, something later in the, sometime late in the summer we start looking at doing that as we start putting our budget together for the following year, that maybe we have a public hearing and have people come in and talk about
it. Yes, we would have to do that.
So.
So
I just like
to keep that on the radar, and that's all I have.
Okay.
On those properties you're talking about, do we have a legal opinion back from the county?
So I talked to the state. I talked to the state special service district executive director, and I talked to the state auditor's office, and they said since it's so old, like over 20 years now, I guess that has been like that, that we can revisit it, and we'd have to put together the public hearing and go through the whole process.
Is this Greenbelt property what we're talking about?
Not necessarily.
It's there's I have to look up the terms. One of them is FAA property. There's others that just say they're exempt. I have to look up the codes. And one of them is the Greenbelt, but there's a lot of everything. There's a lot of I'd have to show you on the list, and I don't have them off the top of my head. But when we look at the county's map, a lot of them have some type of dwelling, not necessarily a living one, but a working pole barn.
A lot of Greenbelt properties do.
Yeah. So, anyway, it's just something we could look at.
FYI.
Okay, Mark?
I'm good.
You're good? Okay, well, I'm pretty much that way. Yeah, we're trying. It's Gordon, you got a comment?
Yeah, and it refers back to what we talked about with HB 48. So it's a question: what's the status on the hydrant flushing as the tied together with the water district? My concern is this: there's Ralph, and there's a couple of other people. The flushing needs to be, first of all, it has to be recorded and dated.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The pressures are already available through the water district because he has to do it monthly. But that has to be a composite in what we, when this HB 48 comes down, that cannot be something you start doing. It has to be in existence to prove that you're concerned about being in a high risk area.
Yeah, it's part of the ISO.
Yes.
And basically, yeah, that's something that the water companies and the fire district have to merge together, because the water district has, you know, the infrastructure of the water system, but part of your ISO rating is, you know, half water and half fire.
Yeah.
So we have to interface with the water companies in each community.
So I guess my question is anything being done now, or is it something we need to address?
It's something we need to address, in my mind.
Because if this thing gets passed, that's going to be part of your record keeping. It makes you look better if you can show that than somebody just taking it on, if you want to put
exactly.
It.
Are you saying that HB 48 has not been passed yet?
Or is
it has been passed.
It's just not been enacted.
They're working on implementing.
What will address as part of the risk factor, not just individually.
Well, it's also for our ISO score.
Exactly.
So we're already working on that.
Yes, and that's, you know, we need to have that interface between the water company and the fire department.
Well,
so is it difficult?
Is it what?
Is it difficult?
Yes.
I think it
is. In my opinion, I went, asked about it, and I was basically told, since I'm not the chairman, I have nothing. They won't listen to me. District chief went.
Yeah.
They listened to you, but nothing's been done.
Okay. Yeah. There's a structure for doing it. You put it in written form, and you document it, and you copy the county. It's as simple as that.
Okay.
They're obligated. I'm not sure why there's this.
There's friction.
It's not animosity, but there's a difference of atmosphere.
Well, it's turf.
And it should not be.
It's a turf battle, and it's nonsense, but that's what it is.
There's certain things that they're obligated to do that they depend on the fire department for. Mm-hmm. Simple as that.
My understanding in talking to some people at the fire board, too, is there's a cost involved. Because it's not necessarily, it's got to be done by somebody who's certified to be able to do that. So they have a proposal to hire a company to come in and do it. So there's going to be a cost incurred. So that has to be discussed. Who's going to pay what portion of that cost?
That's not what we used to have here. That's the case.
It has to be documented
and kept here, and also the pressure. I know they do the pressure testing, and that is recorded because when you go to the house, that.
Well, they don't test the individual.
Their idea is to test for pressure.
And your stuff doesn't work right now.
Okay.
Your flow.
Now, the second part is to check each hydrant.
Each hydrant has to be tested.
Well, Gordon, maybe you can go to the next water board meeting.
I will go willingly if you give me some ammunition to go with.
That would be the next one for me to read.
I can't.
Okay. I'll give you what I have on the ISO paperwork that needs to get filled out so that we can use it and submit it, but when I looked at our last report, I mean, I can't believe the simple things that I think would be to do and how we score so low. I was mind-boggled. Yes.
As well as the... Mm-hmm.
One of their issues is, what are you going to do with all the water that comes flowing out? And it's going to flood the area. And
that's not the case.
I'm just telling you what they're saying when I do that. I get to ask a question.
Okay. I've got an answer to that, too.
Okay. All right. Third Wednesday of the month at our water.
Okay. So as far as my comments, we're in the... And right now, we're a little bit stagnant. But we've got moving forward. So we do have goals, and we need to work on that ISO, and that means we have to forge bonds with our water companies.
Yeah.
It's all part of, you know, we are all one big community here.
Yeah. And we need to start acting well together.
I think we do okay. Yeah.
is it owned in the central?
No, I don't think
Well, I think Central and Brookside might be a little bit more of an acute situation. You know, you've got Veo doing okay. Gunlock is, I think, okay.
Well,
I
the
think
Brookside situation, as far as the water, it's part of Veo Water Company.
No.
Well, the no, the New Jerusalem is not. It's just lower.
Yeah.
Okay. So
expanding it now.
Yeah.
Oh, is that what they're doing?
Okay. But, yeah, I think Central is maybe just a little bit more of an acute situation than the other areas. We just need
But that's, you know, it's something we'll get we need there. To I think work together.
Might need you to come to a meeting, too.
Well, I can do that, too.
Okay.
I think that would help, don't you think?
I think it'd be
and
great,
Rob,
yeah.
You've right. Your question.
Okay.
We need the guns.
I don't have much in the way of guns, but whatever. Okay.
I'll call for an adjournment.
Well, we've got public comments.
Oh, my bad.
I got a couple of questions if it's time for.
Okay.
This last big fire that they have, and they had fire department from all over coming and everything, did the Forest Department have any firefighters or equipment on that fire?
For the Forest Service?
See? The one right here?
Yeah.
We had state and BLM and Forest Service people.
Where does the Forest Department have their firefighting equipment? Where are they located? And how long does it take them to get here?
City
if they're clearing St. George,
if they patrol up there.
Yeah. But basically, I'll tell you how it used to be when I was working for the state. Basically, we'd get together in South Zone. Where the BLM are, we'd have the BLM, the Forest Service, the state, and sometimes the park. And we'd get together and say, okay, this is the briefing for the morning. This is what we anticipate. And then we'd talk about, okay, this is how we're going to cover our area that day. And so, you know, BLM and Forest Service all have assignments, you know, moving around. And when something happens, you know, the closest one will come. They don't
have any equipment like in Pine Valley.
No,
they're patrolling the county. And I think they were on scene.
What's the communication like if there's a fire, you know, in the park area, but here in Central, mm-hmm. you guys are going to be there first.
Right.
So part of
what we do when we get on an established command, you know, we're talking to dispatch in town and working with that. But then we'll also get on the radio, and there's wildland, it's called Color Country, their dispatch. And we will call in the fire to Color Country, and they will dispatch those resources here.
Interagency fire.
So
are they monitoring the communications?
They're monitoring their own. They're not monitoring our dispatch here where we've got...
We have two radio systems, so that is kind of, and I hate that, but that's how it is.
So they don't know jack shit until you guys call.
But it's part of the protocol, and it's something that we do. So, you know, we get in, we start that initial fire attack, and then we'll call Color Country to let them know what's going on, and that's when they start sending resources. And they'll send a couple trucks, maybe they'll send an airplane, they'll send a helicopter, they'll send all those kinds of things based on whatever that size up that we give to them. But they've got those resources, and I think they were on scene on this one, what, 20 minutes?
Yeah.
After Ralph gave you the initial size up, they were here within 20 minutes.
Well, I hadn't even thought about it until you guys' earlier conversation about, you know.
Yeah.
And I was here when they had us evacuate. We're all parked out here by the fire mm-hmm. station, and they had a C-130 come in.
Oh, yeah.
I heard a big, like, you know, lightning or whatever.
Yep.
And I got up and I walked out and I'm a combat vet. And so I walked out of my house there in the driveway and I saw a little bit of smoke over in the distance over here. It wasn't really anything. And then I turned around and I just looked to the west and that whole hill over there, I mean, to me, it was mm-hmm. like a flashback, you know,
Agent Orange like going
down. And when that C-130 finally came, he was only about 200 foot off the deck.
He was on the deck, yeah.
Retardant, and I mean, he just hugged the hill.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, you know, I'm like, what the hell, you know? But so I really never gave much thought about how the state, because I see tankers flying around and stuff.
Yeah, so they're usually based out of Cedar City. And that's where Color Country is, and I think they're
IFC is in Cedar. So and that's the communication.
They've got all those resources. You know, we do what we can do here, and then
so the new radio system is tied into where you got to call them on landline or
no. You call it's VHF and UHF. You know,
okay.
The new radios we've actually. They've got them programmed so we can use the new radios. We just got to go to a different bank of frequencies.
Yeah.
Where before it was always two separate radios.
And I still like the two radios.
I kind of like the two radios too because it's, you know, you still got things going on both. But we do have the capability on the new radios to call them. You just have to go to a different bank of frequencies.
You can call and get them to help you, but you guys are the Donnie on the spot.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
And typically by the time... Depending on the time of year and actually time of day, when we get the page, we'll call right back into dispatch and tell them, let Color Country know something's going on.
Yeah.
So they can get those guys coming this way. Whether we get there and it's a
skunker,
little fire, nothing going on, they can turn around. And so we
call that. You guys need help.
We're
available.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. I didn't have a clue about how any of that worked until you have talked about it. Well, heck, forests is all around it. You'd think they'd have a fire station in Pine Valley or something.
No, they've got a lot of area to cover, so.
Yeah.
All right, thanks.
Yep.
I got a comment that I wanted to bring up earlier. I've been noticing in our community that there's a website for the Central Fire Department that was made from previous chiefs that were here before, but it has information on there about, you know, how to reach the chief and, you know, how to become a volunteer and stuff, and it has old information on it. If you Google Central Fire Department, it'll pull up this website, and it was made probably last time it was active was when Jeff Bingham was around, and
okay.
I reached out to him to say, hey, how can I get access to this website to, like,
yeah.
turn it down or turn it off, and he says he doesn't know anything about it anymore, he doesn't have access to it.
Oh,
so
who's paying for it?
It's like on a Google, like, server services kind of website.
Really?
Yeah, if you just Google the Central Fire Department, which I did pull it up, and you can look at it. You know,
does it have an administrator or anything?
Not that I know of. So, but, you know, what's bad about it has an email address for, it's like Central Utah Fire Department. And so I'm just worried that people are emailing this, you know, address or calling and Ed Cook is actually on there as the fire chief,
yeah.
and he always, you know, refers my phone number to people in the community. But I think to eliminate Ed Cook out of the equation would probably be good to take this website down and get someone to start.
You know, or get some accurate information.
Right, right, exactly.
We get that access to it. So, okay.
Hmm. Okay, thanks. We'll look into that.
Any other comments? Okay, I'm listening for a motion.
I will make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Okay, we're done.
Time 19:53 hours, regular board meeting for Northwest Special Service District.
I think 90 minutes.
That's not too bad.